Hi, I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. In this episode, we'll be exploring an archaic charm, which is a fascinating, albeit grisly, part of English folklore, the Hand of Glory. It was a wild night. The storm pelted the windows of the inn, and a fierce wind was raging around the chimney. The landlord and his household had closed up for the night, and were enjoying a pint of beer after a long shift. But something interrupted their idle supping and chatting, a knocking at the front door, barely audible over the drumming of the rain. The door was opened, and there, soaked to the skin and shivering with cold, stood a beggar all dressed in rags. He asked for shelter from the storm and was quickly welcomed inside. After all, nobody should be outside on a night like this. There was no spare bed for him, but the beggar was welcome to pull up a chair by the fire and stay there for the night. The poor man gratefully accepted and began to warm himself by the hearth. Soon he was fast asleep, clearly exhausted by his ordeal. One by one, the landlord and his household retired to bed, leaving the beggar sleeping peacefully in front of the fire. Soon all was silent, apart from the crackling of the flames in the grate and the occasional faint snore coming from the rooms upstairs. Suddenly, the beggar stirred. Throwing aside the blanket the kind people had covered him with, he sprang to his feet, fully alert. As soon as he was sure that everybody in the house was asleep, he moved with purpose, no longer weak and pitiful. But he had made a mistake. Not everybody in the house was sleeping. In the kitchen, the servant girl was still awake, sitting up late with her sewing. Through a small pane of glass in the door, she could follow the beggar man's every move. Her curiosity soon turned to disgust as he pulled from his pocket a shriveled, papery human hand and set it upright on the candlestick. He rubbed something on each of the fingers and lit them with a match. Flame sprung from the fingertips, sending eerie shadows dancing over the walls. Horrified, the young woman fled upstairs and tried to wake the landlord and the rest of the household. But no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't wake them. Even when she pinched and slapped them in desperation, they continued to snore gently. Realizing that there was magic afoot, she ventured back downstairs, afraid and alone. Peeking back through the small pane of glass in the kitchen door, she saw the beggar loading all of the valuables he could find into a sack. When he came to a locked cupboard, he just held the withered hand to the lock, and the door sprang open, as if it were alive. She noticed that, although the fingers of the horrible hand were alight, no flame came from the thumb. Then she remembered an old story that her grandmother had once told her, and realized why the thumb would not light. It was because she was still awake. She watched, holding her breath, and thanked her lucky stars that the beggar, or the thief as he should rightly be called, had not noticed in his haste to rob the place. Then, putting the hand down on a side table, the thief entered an adjoining room. Seizing her chance, the girl rushed in and snatched the hand, blowing frantically at the flames in an attempt to extinguish them. No matter how hard she blew, they were unwavering. Her breath could not touch them. She threw the dregs of the beer jug over them to no avail, and dousing them in water had no effect. Then her grandmother's story came back to her once more. Would it work? Hoping beyond hope, she ran to the kitchen and grabbed a jug of milk, emptying it over the flames, which were extinguished immediately. With a cry half of triumph, half of disbelief, she dashed to the door of the room the thief had entered and locked it fast. In a moment, she heard the sound of heavy feet on the floor above her as the household, woken by her shout, rushed to see what was the matter. The thief was caught and brought to justice. This story was told to me during a ghost walk in a North Yorkshire seaside town last summer. The very same story was recorded by the Reverend Sabine Baring-Gould, an antiquarian, scholar, and collector of folk songs, over a century and a half ago. He was told the tale by a labourer in the West Riding of Yorkshire and preserved it in his two-part work, Curious Myths of the Middle Ages. According to folklore, the Hand of Glory was made from a severed hand, cut from the corpse of a criminal hanged for their crimes. Thieves are said to have used this grim object to aid in their nefarious endeavours. Sometimes the hand was used as a candle holder, the candle slotting neatly in between the fingers of the mummified hand. Other times, the fingers of the hand itself were lit. When the hand was in use, no lock could withstand its power. Every person in the house who was sleeping would remain in a deep, enchanted sleep, not to be woken until the flame was extinguished. And of course, the Hand of Glory could not be extinguished by normal means. It could only be put out by milk, or in some stories, blood. While lore surrounding the power of a dead man's severed hand has existed in various forms stretching back into the mists of time, the name we have given it for the past few centuries, the Hand of Glory, is believed to be derived from the French main de gloire, a corruption of mandragore, as we might know it better, mandrake. This hallucinogenic, potentially poisonous root is also a powerful soporific. When taken in the right quantities, mandrake causes unconsciousness and was even used as an anaesthetic in ancient times. It's easy to see the connection between these properties and the hand's fabled ability to plunge its victims into a deep, unrousable sleep. There are numerous ways to make a Hand of Glory, but each method has a similar starting point. The hand must be cut from a criminal who has been taken to the gallows and hanged. In some methods, it must be the left, also known as the sinister hand. In others, the hand which was used to commit the crime. The hand must be pickled in a mixture made from salt and the urine of a man, woman, dog, horse, and mare. Then it's smoked with herbs and hay for a month, and hung on an oak tree for 3 nights. After that, it's lain at the crossroads, long seen as a liminal place, then hung on the church door overnight while you keep watch in the porch. If you can stay for the whole night without your nerves giving out, the hand is yours and ready to be used. Another method is to wrap the hand in part of a shroud and squeeze the blood out of it, then preserve it using a special powder. It must be dried in the sun during the dog days, the hottest, most oppressive days of summer, and used as a candlestick to hold a candle made from the fat of the very same criminal. Sometimes another element of the dead man's body is used. The wick must be made from his hair. There is a way to counter the power of the Hand of Glory, according to Francis Grode's 1787 Provincial Glossary. First, you must gather some suitably gruesome ingredients: fat from a white hen, blood from a screech owl, and gall, also known as bile, from a black cat. Once you have performed the acts necessary to obtain these ingredients, they must be mixed together during those long, heavy dog days. This grim compound can be used to anoint the threshold and windowsills of the house, along with any other potential entrances. It will guard those within the house against the power of the hand. In 1870, a preserved human hand and arm was found concealed in a chimney at the White Hart in Caldmore Green, Walsall. It was believed to be a Hand of Glory and displayed in the Walsall Museum, which unfortunately closed down in 2015. Testing revealed it to be a medical specimen, a child's arm preserved in formalin. There had been a doctor staying at the White Hart, so the specimen is likely to have been one of his possessions. Why he had it with him at the inn, and why it was hidden in the attic chimney, remains a mystery. In later years, footsteps have been heard coming from the empty attic, and a fresh handprint was found in the thick dust on a table in the attic room. Nobody had been in that room for months, so you can just imagine the shock felt by the person who found that small handprint. There is just one known remaining example of a potential Hand of Glory. On the North Yorkshire coast, Whitby Abbey towers over the bustling seaside town, full of tourists and the occasional Dracula enthusiast. On the opposite hill stands the Whitby Museum. It's one of my personal favourite museums, housing a wonderful collection of curios, including a sea bishop and a piece of jewellery containing a twist of hangman's rope. But its pride and joy is its Hand of Glory. Withered and mummified, it was found concealed in the wall of a cottage in Castleton. It may have been hidden there to protect the cottage from evil. The hand was given to Whitby Museum in 1935. Although the Hand of Glory is the most famous magical tool used by thieves and wrongdoers, there are others, some of which make the grisly provenance of the hand look positively cheerful and wholesome. The first of these is the Raven Stones. According to Germanic folklore, these are eyeballs which have been taken, undigested, from the bellies of ravens who have fed on the criminals hanged at the gallows. They cast a light which can only be seen by their owner, ideal for carrying out evil deeds under the cover of darkness. There is another element of Germanic folklore which is even more disturbing. For those of a sensitive disposition, be warned. Thief lights were purported to have the same powers as the Hand of Glory. But rather than being made from the hand of a hanged criminal, they were made from the fingers of unborn babies. At midnight, a person who wanted to make a thief light must go and find the body of a female criminal who was pregnant when she died. The unborn child must be taken from the woman's body using the same knife or axe which had been used by her executioner. This dark undertaking must be performed in complete silence. The baby's fingers, or sometimes the thumb, would be dried out and lit to serve as a tiny, terrible candle. Thank you for listening to Oddity. You can follow at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Join me next week for another journey into the strange and unexplained.